The new book, Eleanor Roosevelt, Volume 3, The War Years and After, 1939 to 1962, is the final volume in Blanche Wieson Cook's definitive biography of one of America's greatest first ladies. Historians, politicians, and critics have praised the biography of Eleanor Roosevelt as the essential portrait of a woman who towers over the 20th century. Eleanor Roosevelt, Volume 3, follows the arc of war and the evolution of a marriage as the First Lady realized the cost of maintaining her principles, even as the country and her husband were not prepared to adopt them. The name of the book, again, Eleanor Roosevelt, The War Years and After, 1939 to 1962, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Blanche Wieson Cook to the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
A great pleasure to have you and quite an honor to have you on the program. Let me talk to you a little bit about I want to get specifically into this volume, but to take on this project as a whole and what brought you to that and the ultimate decision that this would be three volumes.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be three volumes at the beginning. But as Joe Lash said, Eleanor Roosevelt is infinite. I thought I could. It was after I finished my Eisenhower book. Kate Stimson, sent me a book on Hick and Eleanor Roosevelt to review, Lorena Hickok. And I called Joe Lash up, who was a friend of mine and Eleanor Roosevelt's biographer, and I said, "What's up with you not having Hick in your books at all?" And he said, "I hated her. Why don't you write a new biography?" And I said, "You know, don't be ridiculous. I'm a military historian. I do hard history." And he said, "You know, you're wrong." And he took me up to Hyde Park, and I realized I had a story to tell. I thought I could tell it by her centennial in 1984, but over time I discovered many new documents. And in 1988, I served on the State Department Historical Advisory Committee to declassify documents and keep the Freedom of Information Act alive. And my boss, Bill Slaney, in the State Department sent me all these boxes of papers before each meeting of our committee. And so I said, "Look at all this paper you send me. What would Eleanor Roosevelt's file for the State Department when she served at the UN from 1946 to 1953 look like?" And he said, "Well, let's go look for it." And we went to the archives and we found 198 boxes. And that really changed the story. We declassified, this is all in 1988, we declassified the documents. And the story then loomed very large, Eleanor Roosevelt's quest for economic rights, social rights, human rights for everybody, the lifelong quest of her being, and it just grew and grew.
I know just a few days ago you spoke about a week and a half ago at the FDR Presidential Library in Hyde Park, which of course is in our listening area, and you have spent a lot of time in Hyde Park over the last several decades, haven't you?
I have. The staff there is fabulous. The archives are wonderful. The archivists are wonderful. The new archivist, Paul Sparrow, is terrific, and you know, they're doing just great work, both at Hyde Park and at Val Kill, Eleanor Roosevelt's Val Kill Sanctuary. So I've had a lot of fun up in your part of the world.
When it comes to this particular volume, give us the arc of that story, the war years and after. We are looking at 1939 to 1962, and obviously pivotal moments of the loss of her husband. Yes, the war years, the loss of her husband, and then of course her own success, and then ultimately leading to her death.
Well, it's really the culmination of her struggle for racial justice and civil rights. So race and the quest for rescue to set up havens for refugees, and her struggles with FDR to deal with these two enormous issues. And then his death in 1945, 12 April 1945, and Eleanor Roosevelt says to reporters, the story is over. But of course, the story isn't over. A whole new chapter of her life begins, and she becomes our most important, United Nations diplomat who gets the Universal Declaration of Human Rights on the world agenda where it is today. The U.S. has not yet ratified the Economic and Social Rights Covenant, but there's so much more to do. Eleanor Roosevelt really understood we will not have peace until there is economic security, and we have to fight for education for all, housing for all, health care for all. In the war years, that's for the United States. After the war years, it's for the planet. And that's really where we are today. How are we going to end this spiral of bigotry and racism and economic insecurity and deprivation? I mean, these issues have to be back on the agenda. And I'm hoping that Eleanor Roosevelt's vision, she never stopped growing and changing. She was incredibly prescient. This is what has to happen.
So staying with that theme for a moment, you looking at how Eleanor Roosevelt paved the way for women in government and realizing, of course, that Hillary Clinton has named Eleanor Roosevelt as her great idol. And so I'm interested in your take in these last days of the campaign of the impact that this woman, Eleanor Roosevelt, has had on our potentially our first woman president.
Well, we really have to hope that Hillary Rodham Clinton has success and is elected so that the fight can go on. Eleanor Roosevelt many times said, "Men hate women with power." And she was attacked viciously by J. Edgar Hoover of the FBI, who followed her around. Everything she said against lynching, everything she said against segregation is part of her FBI file. And J. Edgar Hoover, he monitored her phones. He bugged her hotel rooms. We're talking about emails when we should be talking about housing for everybody. There are 30 million homeless Americans, half of them veterans. We should be talking about folks starving to death and all the insecurity of the failure to have a system that continues the New Deal and have full employment. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "I can get you 100% literacy and full employment. One teacher, five students." She said that in the 1930s, and today we're closing public schools and ending sports and music programs. This would astound Eleanor Roosevelt, who really believed that we needed youth orchestras and music programs in every school and sports. She wrote it in her book, You Learn by Living. The happiest day of her life was the day she made the first team at field hockey in her own school, Allenswood, when she was 15. I mean, Eleanor Roosevelt believed in these things and fought for them her entire life. And we know that Hillary Rodham Clinton channeled Eleanor Roosevelt. We hope she'll do it again. And what would Eleanor say to her? Well, she'd have many, many lessons.
I'm curious because this has fascinated me since really the I think June of this year when Ken Burns gave his remarks at Stanford and of course you were part of his Roosevelt series and I just think it's fascinating that he, along with David McCullough and many other historians in this country, got together and talked about the dangers of Donald Trump. When we take out, let us take out the parallels between between Eleanor Roosevelt and Hillary Clinton for a moment and just talk about, for you as an historian and one of the most respected in the nation, to come to your views of why this is so important for people to understand that, because I think it is really significant when you have the greatest historians, presidential historians and historians of our time, who are almost universally crying out that this is dangerous.
That this is what?
Dangerous.
Dangerous, yes.
A Trump presidency is dangerous.
Yes. Of course, you know, it is really dangerous. We're looking at a bigot who says terrible things about women, who says terrible things about race, is a racist. And Eleanor Roosevelt really, I mean, she said in 1934, when the educators of America condemned segregation for the first time, she made a speech. May 11th, 1934, she said, "We will all go ahead together, or we will all go down together." And for the first time, we have a candidate running for office who has nothing but contempt for the great variety of the people who live and are citizens of this country and then of the world. So Eleanor Roosevelt really made that connection. We need health care for all. It was supposed to be in the 1935 Social Security Act. The AMA lobbied it to death. We need housing for all. And if you look at Eleanor Roosevelt's commitment to model communities like Arthurdale, the first community to have indoor plumbing and hot and cold running water when 98% or 89% of rural America didn't have those things. She was a visionary, housing for all, and most particularly, you know, Bernie Sanders talked about free public tuition-free college education. Eleanor Roosevelt demanded that in 1943. Free education for everybody from elementary school to college. Europe has that. Why doesn't the U.S. have that? So we're looking at a great visionary, and then Hillary Rodham Clinton, you know, says, okay, that's what we have to do. We have to follow her lead. We can only hope that she will follow her lead, because it is what we have to do if we are to restore peace and security and justice to this country and the world.
I remember speaking to both Doris Kearns Goodwin and David McCullough shortly after the completion of, in David McCullough's case, it was his Truman biography, and even John Adams, but also Doris Kearns Goodwin on her book on Lincoln, and what it is like to leave someone that you have been writing about for so long. I know you're in the early stages of this, but what is it like for you to leave Eleanor?
Well, I have to say, as Joe Lash said many times, Eleanor Roosevelt is infinite. And I suspect, although I'm finished writing the book, I will never leave Eleanor Roosevelt, because her legacy is one that I want to continue to fight for. Eleanor Roosevelt said, we need movements. We need movements to go door to door, block by block, community by community, to build a commitment for change. This is true for civil rights. This needs to be true for human rights worldwide. And I'm a member of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Eleanor Roosevelt was a member. Jane Addams, Lillian Wald, visionaries for peace and justice, health care for all, housing for all, education for all, jobs for all. Then we can contemplate peace and dignity for all, and that's human rights, and that's Eleanor Roosevelt's legacy. So I don't think I'm actually leaving her.
Blanche Wiesen Cook is a distinguished professor of history at John Jay College and Graduate Center at City University of New York. She's the author of the new book, Eleanor Roosevelt, The War Years, Volume 3, 1939 to 1962. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this volume. I also can't tell you how much I enjoyed your impressions of Eleanor Roosevelt during your interview. Those are quite delightful as well. Blanche, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time. A delight. Be well.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.